Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Talisker Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol TSK and on the OTCQX under the symbol TSKFF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Terry Harbert. Now, Talisker Resources, focused in BC, the Braylorn property is what we are going to be talking about. Here's the company did back on January 24th, release the inaugural mineral resource estimate, total of 1.66 million ounce gold deposit, coming in at some pretty high grades here. In the indicated category, small portion of this resource, just 33,000 ounces. That's at 8.9 grams per ton gold. The inferred category, that makes up that 1.63 million ounces. That comes in at 6.3 grams per ton gold. Terry, just recap the work, please, that went into this resource estimate. How much drilling did the company do? What was the time frame that got you to this resource?
Hi, guys. Yeah, look, we hit this pretty hard. We only acquired the asset at the end of 2019 and early 2020. We had up to nine rigs drilling up there and drilled 150,000 meters, which really formed the basis of this deposit. We were able to bring in a bit of the historic drilling and a bit of the historic drift samples. We can see that in the indicated section, but most of it was brand new drilling that we did, around 150 kilometers worth. So a fair bit of work in a short space of time.
Well, and Terry, it looks like there's still a lot of potential to keep expanding it here. I mean, you've got 86 veins that have been identified with 63 veins open along strike, but it looks like you got some room at depth and along strike to keep expanding it. So it's always a snapshot in time when you do a resource estimate. So what do you want people to take away from the potential to still keep growing this deposit?
Oh, we've always believed, guys, right from the beginning that this is a world-class deposit, something that has plus 5 million ounce potential. Interestingly about Braylorn historically, even though it's been closed for 50 years, it still sits as the number one top gold producer in Western Canada. So it still sits above total production numbers at SK Creek, at Bruce Jack. It still sits at number one. So this first resource that we put out here really has just scratched the surface on what we think's really there. Unfortunately, with tough markets last year, we ran short on the number of meters we wanted to drill. We wanted to drill about another 16 or 17,000 meters. So the area that we've listed as exploration targets, they're areas that we were actually planning to put into this resource. We just ran out of drill meters. So they actually have got drill holes in them. They have got sampling in them. And that's that 400 to 700,000 ounces. So all of that actually just sits right next door to where our resource is. We just need to put these extra holes in to bring it in. So that's a pretty clear pathway to take this resource up beyond that 2 million ounce level, simply by drilling these ore bodies that we've defined in the resource along strike. Obviously, we think there's a lot larger potential here. Historically mined to 2 kilometres, nearly 1.9 kilometres depth from surface. Our resource is defined all at less than 700 metres from surface. So we've still got at least two or three times of the ore body sitting down there that we know of. It's just a case of putting the drill meters in to convert that into resource.
So is that going to be the plan for this year then, Terry, to continue to grow this resource, even look to what sounds like kind of low-hanging fruit for the company?
Well, really what we're going to look at is close to resource conversion. Certainly in the last year to 18 months, there hasn't been a great deal of interest in the gold market and not a great deal of excitement. And we've all sort of dropped from an $80 EV per ounce valuation to somewhere in the mid-20s. So at this stage, I can't see a lot of benefit in putting a lot of capital into drilling off a very big resource. What we'd look to do is convert more of the defined resource in the indicated category We're seeing great grades there. We're seeing it tracking towards 9 grams per tonne. And really, that's what we expect for the deposit when we look at mining. The historic grades were up around 18 grams. That was very surgical mining, so very low dilution, shrinkage stope. We're looking at utilising more modern mechanical methods, long hole stoping, so we'll have more dilution. So really, we expect the grade to be sitting around that 9 gram mark, which is about half of that historic average. The deposit hasn't changed. We're still defining the same veins along strike, so we expect to see those grades range. We see a difference between the inferred simply because of drill spacing, because of the nugget effect and the distribution of gold and gold deposits. The more drilling you do, the more chance you've got of hitting these higher grade pockets. So really what we'd like to do is grow that indicated resource and basically show a pathway for 3 to 4 years of production.
Well, Terry, it is impressive to see these higher grades. And like you say, there's some more nuggety zones that even have higher grades. But you mentioned the historic mining grades there and how they were approaching it, how you may approach it a little differently. But just remind people that are not familiar with this project, the history of Braylorn here, that it was a past producing area and that there are still a lot of areas around those old mines and in between the gap zones between those old mines that are just rich with this higher grade gold.
Yeah, look, it was for a long time, well, it still is BC's highest grade, longest producing gold mine. It was actually the source of the Fraser River gold rushes way back in the 1860s. Hard rock mining started here around the Great Depression, 1929. And was continuously mined, continuously for up to 1971. Things were pretty tough for gold miners throughout this period. We had the gold standard, so a fixed gold price as a currency backer. There was actual gold mining in Canada and in BC was subsidized by the government. So a very different economy to where we have things now. The mine closed in 71. Simply because they couldn't deal with the economics. Gold price was $35 an ounce. That's about $220 in current dollar value. So now we're sort of $1,800 an ounce. So it's orders of magnitude up in the valuation. It was a rich deposit and very well known for its structural continuity. Once they got on the veins, they just continued on them. And also on the grade continuity. And we see these ore shoots continuously down plunge for in the order of 1.5 kilometres. So it was a very predictable deposit. Great metallurgy throughout this time. In the low 90s recovery, our modern metallurgy sees it up to 96%. So it was a real systematic and quite easy to mine deposit. Interestingly, the three historic mines were all owned by separate groups, and the gaps or the spaces between them were owned by individuals or other companies. So we're one of the first groups that's consolidated this whole area, nearly 33 kilometres worth of strike length we've been able to put together. And realistically, the vast majority of our resource actually sits in between the historic mines. And we've got about a kilometre space that was never mined. So really, we've just developed brand new deposit sitting in between the historic mines.
So then, Terry, you even mentioned how, look, you're not necessarily going to go after exploration here and build out even more ounces because companies aren't getting rewarded for ounces. Does that mean you're looking to move into production? I ask because it's not as though a small scale or early stage production companies are getting rewarded either.
Well, the real plan is to transition into larger scale production. Although we'd start at small scale production, so bulk sampling or at a test mining rate, we'd look over time to take that up to about 750 tonnes per day or even to 1,000 tonnes per day. So this would put us in the realm of sort of between 70 and 100,000 ounce a day production, which is quite respectable and not really small scale production. Our time frame to do that, obviously Braylorn's a permitted project. We'd look to investigate economics behind a toll milling scenario. So as opposed to building our own mill processing our own material. We look to the numerous available existing projects in South Central British Columbia to be able to truck our material to. So this allows us to circumvent that big dip that you see in the Lassonde curve as you wait for permitting and wait for financing, and we can transition very quickly into a production scenario.
Okay, Terry, so thanks for outlining that potential toll milling option. So a lot on the go for the company between, you know, kind of expanding the and infilling the resources you have, working on the economics of it, and working towards that potential organic growth from going into toll milling. Do you think at one point, though, if you got that up and running on the longer range picture, that you would consider building a mill, or would it always be a toll milling operation?
So our current understanding of economics at the moment is that it's a more economically feasible scenario to be processing locally, particularly once you've got larger scale production. So what we'd look to do is to transition into that over time. What we're looking at the moment is a rapid transfer into being having our own cash flow and attempting to become self-funding without having to continue to be going back to market for capital. Certainly what we'd like to do is build up a cash base within the company that could then offset the CapEx requirements of building our own mill and building our own processing plant. Obviously, there'd also be some permitting requirements there to amend the permits we have to transition to a local process. And that can be a time-consuming action. So we'd want to have plenty of time there that we could continue with off-site production while we start to build this on-site scenario.
What's the general time frame on this then, Terry? When could investors see potential economics? Because again, this is just the initial resource here. So when could we see economics? How quickly could you transition into some toll milling operation?
So we're in the process of developing a mine plan and a mine schedule right now. This will really form the basis of what an economic study would look like. Prior to doing economic study, we'd want to have a runway of several years of production. So we look to do resource conversion from inferred into indicated. So we could basically backfill that production for the next few years. As for a toll milling scenario, we are permitted at the moment for around 100 tons a day from the previous owners. And we also have a stockpile at surface that we could effectively treat at any stage. So starting into small scale production would be a relatively rapid scenario. It would require notification of the government that we'd be coming back into the areas where we had the previous mine plan. And we'd need to submit the new mine plan for what our plans are over the next couple of years. But effectively, it could potentially be something that we could move into within the next 12 months.
Okay. So a one-year time frame there, that is a pretty short window. I guess just even on a shorter time frame, Terry, because investors are always curious what's coming next. What can investors look forward to, let's say, over the next few quarters as far as the key news? What do you really want people focused on as 2023 unrolls here?
Well, there are multiple things that we're considering. First, we're looking at a non-dilutive capital raise. We've been running a process, speaking to a suite of royalty companies, looking at having a royalty sale so we can help to fund this resource conversion and starting of the production from a royalty scenario without having to go back to market at a challenging time. So really, that's one of the first things we're looking at, finishing this internal studies, looking at mine planning and mineability. And resource conversion would be the initial things that we'd kick off, and then finalizing an ore sale agreement. So we'd like to do that in a relatively short space of time, because then that opens up the window for us to start trucking our material and generating cash flow. So we're working on all of this right now, and we'd like within the next few months to be able to finalize as much of this as we can so we can start to walk this path in this transition into production.
So Terry, how much is it going to cost then to go through the resource conversion, put out economics, move closer to production?
So we're in the process of working out all of these economics now. We anticipate that it's going to be on the fairly low end, so a couple of tens of millions. realistically, we're not looking at needing capital to put in a mill or a lot of infrastructure. We're targeting the mine plan on vertical, high grade, wide veins that are close to surface or close to infrastructure. So we're looking in these initial stages at minimizing the volume of development that we need to access that ore and be able to extract that ore and get it processed. So we're taking a very conservative approach on our expenditure and on the level of development infrastructure that we require at an early stage.
And Terry, just remind people of where the company treasury is at present, just for the immediate initiatives.
Yes, we're about at $3.5 million cash base at the moment.
Okay, Terry, we'll wrap it up here. Keep us up to date on, I guess, all these moving pieces moving into potentially early stage production here after just releasing the inaugural mineral resource estimate. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Terry and the team over at Talisker, please email us and we will get those addressed for you. We'll also follow along with Terry as we find out more about what sounds like some infill drilling and some economics. Terry, thank you for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news.